Third and 17 at the Scott City 20. Scott City leading 7-0. Arrowsmith, pump fake, looks left, doesn't have anything. Now he's flush. He's going to roll right. He's at the 10, the 5, and Arrowsmith's in for a Trojan touchdown. A 20-yard run on third and 17 as a junior quarterback in his third career start improvises nothing, open downfield, takes it in from 20 yards out, and Beloit within one against a third-ranked team in the state. Scott City 7, Beloit 6 with 4:23 to go in the first quarter here from Beloit.
That cut the lead to one, as you heard. Beloit, Scott City last night. Scott City wins 55-12. It was like Beloit poked the bear when they scored that touchdown. It seemed to upset the Scott City Beavers, third-ranked team in 3A. They dominated from then on out. But I thought Beloit actually played pretty well. They just overmatched and definitely don't have the depth that Scott City has. Of course, Beloit's had those injuries too. And I thought Granny Arrowsmith played a nice game last night, and they certainly keyed Scott City on Tate Alvers, who ran for 264 against Goodland. They weren't going to let him beat him last night. And Beloit falls 55-12, but only had one turnover. That hurt him a little bit, but the game was already kind of out of hand at that point. And I think Beloit played, you know, fairly well. And Scott City is really good, and they could be in the state championship game in late November in Class 3A. They are that good. We had sports trivia earlier. I'm going to bust out a trivia question on Dusty and see if he can answer it. Chad already knows the answer to this. In the last 10 and a half seasons, so we're going back to 2008, Dusty, 10 and a half seasons, counting this year, how many losses does Scott City football have?
Oh, 10 and a half. I'm going to say, I'm trying to average maybe a game and a half loss each
right.
year.
Yep.
One has been 10. I'm going to say 11.
11? Well, that'd be one. That'd be one per season.
10 and, no. 16 is what I want to say, yeah.
16?
Yeah.
One and a half?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't
you've
put
been
that
closer
right.
with 11.
Really?
Yeah. Scott City, since 2008, in the last 10 and a half years of football for them, has a record of 114-13.
Wow.
That computes to 90% winning percentage. So 9 out of every 10 games they play, they win.
Yeah. So I should have been doing one.
Yes, you should have.
Per year.
Yes. And that's in 10 and a half seasons, which means that's a decade worth of football. A decade.
Yeah.
And they've lost 13 games. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I've been helping rank for a long time, and they're always in my top five, it seems like. I don't know if I've ever not had a Scott City team in my top five.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
9 of those 13 have been in the playoffs. So they have only 4 regular season losses in the last 10 and a half seasons. And they're not going to have one this year. Regular season
loss.
No.
Ask him the other question.
I don't know. What is it?
When the last time that they...
Oh, he already knows that. I told him that. He's heard that many times.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Last time Scott City had a losing season was 1986.
Yeah.
Beloit, last time they had a losing season was 2004, I think it was. Beloit's had 13 consecutive winning seasons, which is still pretty impressive. But, man, Scott City, that's a decade of excellence and then some. Just one state title during that time, though. Made it to a couple state championships, but kept running in the Conway there for a little while. That stopped them in the quarters.
That stopped everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. He's talking about Conway. We should look up their record in the last 10 years. It'd be very comparable. No question about it. All right. Local sports from last night. Of course, Scott City winning over Beloit 55-12. Grant Arrowsmith ran for 104 yards, 15 carries, touchdown run, touchdown pass. He was the offensive player of the game. Reed Barron's the defensive player of the game. And the block of the game went to River Paul from H&R Block in Beloit. Never settle for less. Beloit now 3-3 overall and 1-2 in district play. And the playoffs really start for them next week. A big game against Concordia at home, senior night on KD Country 94 and live video stream, ncksports.com. And then next week they go to Russell, and that'll be on the video stream as well. So a couple of big games coming up for Beloit and a great rivalry. Beloit and Concordia with a little extra on top of this one with the ramifications of trying to get a playoff berth. And you want to get that 3 spot. You want to finish 3rd in the district instead of 4th. Be a much better first-round matchup in the playoffs in late October. So, big game next week we look forward to on Katy Country 94. I'll go through the football game move-up times, and then you'll cover the others if you want. St. John's Tipton at Frankfort at 6 o'clock tonight. Southern Klein Rock Hills at 5. Northern Valley at 7. Lucas at 5. Hill City at Lincoln at 5. Sacred Heart at Smith Center at 4:30. Thunder Ridge at Palco or Logan Palco at 5 tonight. Pike Valley at Lakeside at 6 o'clock. Our coverage will begin 4:40 with the Football Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock kick. Dusty and Todd have the call from Downs. And then 10:05 will be a local high school scoreboard show brought to you by State Farm Insurance in Beloit. And we'll hear from the coaches coming up in just a moment. But there are other football games out there, as far as we know, going on the regular scheduled times.
Yes, really the only one in the immediate area that's not been changed that we know of yet is Osborne at Wilson. So that's really the only other one, and we'll preview all the other games that are going on here this evening in the Football Express. But you mentioned pretty much all the immediate area games there, and a lot of them being moved up in time. So, if you are going out to high school football games, they're posted on our Twitter pages and also on ncksports.com. The schedules are updated, so if you missed any of that, you can find the start times for those games in those places. So yeah, it's weather's wreaking havoc a little bit here on week six, but we're rolling on along and getting everything out for you tonight here.
Before we preview the game tonight, probably by Lakeside, hear from the coaches. Let's wrap up results from yesterday in local sports. The Beloit girls volleyball team, a big win last night, and we have talked about it, and it's not being critical of anything. We've stated the facts that, and Beloit knows it as well as anybody, that mm-hmm. The league isn't very strong when it comes to volleyball this year. There's a couple teams with good records, and Beloit won the Southeast Sling tournament. That was a good win for them earlier in the year, first ever Southeast tournament title. Their two losses had been until this past weekend at the Concordia tournament to teams from Nebraska. But it was like, what are they going to do against state-ranked competition? They played Smith Center, state-ranked team, lost in three sets at Concordia, beat Riley in three sets, lost to Concordia in straight sets, and Concordia will be at their sub-state in Phillipsburg coming up later on this month. So then they went down to the Southeast Quadrangular, and they just played the two matches, and they beat Hoisington, and then they beat Heston. And I'll have you give those scores, but that is a big win for Beloit. Of course, they lost to Heston in sub-state finals a couple years ago, lost to them in a third-place match 3 or 4 years ago. And Heston is known as a very good program in volleyball in Class 3A. And for Beloit to get that win is very impressive, especially considering how the match went.
Yeah, and they beat Hoisington 16-18, and then coming back, they lose the first one to Heston 25-13. And so
you're thinking probably, like, well, that's a pretty convincing first set win for Heston.
And then they come back to win the second one. It took extra points, but they won 28-26 and then won the last one 25-17. So I think once they got that confidence built up, they were able to kind of put together a really good third set. So, yeah, that's a very, very good win for Beloit there in Gypsum last night.
It's amazing how momentum can shift quickly in volleyball.
It's crazy.
It isn't. I mean, you can see it. You watch a team dominate the first set, and you're just like, oh my goodness, they're just going to roll. And the next thing you know, the other team wins, and you're like, oh, well, they're going to win the third set. And you just don't know. You got to play it out. Volleyball is one of the funnest sports for me to cover because there's constant action, and the momentum swings are just so roller coaster.
Yeah, and it's the only sport that you can legitimately call a timeout
and kill that
and
momentum.
Just kill momentum. Yes. It's weird. Like, it's only 30 seconds that you're not on the court. Like, mm-hmm. what happened? And like basketball, you can try to do it, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, sometimes it works.
Team's better. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, a team's better than you and got a good run going. They're probably going to
football. I don't think it works a lot at all.
Football doesn't at all. And there's so many lulls in football anyway that it's. But yeah, volleyball. Yeah, timeout. Okay, you just stopped a 10-0 run and you went on a 9-0 run yourself.
It's like, amazing.
And then the other team's like, timeout, and then it flips back, and it's like, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, it is.
But
crazy.
That's definitely the only sport like that.
Yeah. Any other results from last night?
We did have cross country from yesterday, the Lincoln Invitational, and results can be found at ncksports.com. J.C. Vath of Lincoln won the girls' Lincoln Invitational Championship. Aubrey Donnelly was also in the top five, a third-place finish for Lincoln, and Lincoln won the team championship. Cameron Delaney of Osborne won the boys' first place, 18:03:24, and J.C. Hill of Sylvan Lucas in top five in second place also. Bennington won the team championship there. Again, all those results also from the Mid-Continent League cross-country meet. We didn't have anybody from Smith Center that finished top 20, but you can find full results there at ncksports.com. Also do want to pass along that postseason play is beginning today for regional tennis in Class 3-2-1A girls action. Boys down at Heston, and they've moved the schedule for that to where everything's going to be today in Heston, just in Heston right now. 3-2-1A Beloit is competing there. And then Osborne's at the Trigo Regional there in Waukini, and they're still on schedule to play today and tomorrow there in Waukini for 3-2-1A Regional Girls Tennis.
All right. Well, best of luck to them there.
Yep.
Hopefully get it all in with the weather situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got some thunder and lightning around here right now here at Glen Elder. Back to the Beloit volleyball team for a quick moment. You know, they're a very good team, and they're ranked 6th in the state in 3A. And I'm sure they even know Like, we're a good team, but we really need to be tested. And so how do you stack up against a really good team and a traditional power? And I can't imagine how much confidence that gives Beloit after winning a match like that yesterday and being down one set to none to come back and beat Heston. And that could really bode well for them later on come sub-state time out at Phillipsburg. I mean, that is a, I mean, that match, that win for them could really be a springboard for good things to come. Not that they had to have it, but just to show that, hey, we're a state-ranked team. We just beat a really good state-ranked team in three sets, and we were down and out after the first set, came right back. That's a huge win for them. Okay, your football game tonight, you got Lakeside and Pike Valley. And Pike Valley, well, 7 turnovers last game, 13 penalties or something like that. Crazy. Yeah. Still only allowed 20 points to St. John's Tipton, but lost the game. And Lakeside trying to bounce back from a loss as well.
Yeah, we had, between the two teams last week, 15 combined turnovers. So,
ouch.
You're not winning a lot of games like that, and that's how they both lost last week. So both teams are going to need to clean things up this week for sure. And this is a very important game for this district because, you know, Pike Valley got their first loss. Lakeside's sitting with 2-2 record in district play. And, you know, if they get a win, they can get themselves in position maybe to get that fourth spot. Pike Valley's sitting in third right now. They're trying to get that a spot to keep going as well. So it's an important game right now in this district.
By the way, what's the reward for getting the fourth spot out of this district? What do you win?
You get to go to Hanover, who's only won 30 games.
I just spit out my water all over the board.
Yeah, the reward is,
congratulations, you made the playoffs, you get to go to Hanover.
Yeah.
We're like having a who's who conversation.
And the reward for Pike Valley is for third place, I guess, whoever finishes there, Pike Valley, Lakeside, Southern Cloud, whoever that would be, they get to go to Axtell.
Yeah, and we're assuming Hanover's going to beat Axtell because they're playing tonight.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah. And you know, the matchup lends toward Hanover for sure.
Yeah.
But Axtell's got talent.
Yeah,
and obviously they beat Pike Valley 54-6. They handled St. John's Tipton earlier this year as well. And so, yeah, that whole that's
Frankfort's pretty good, too.
You know how that district is.
I mean, TVL, man.
That's TVL, like you said. And the top three are all undefeated right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's impressive.
We're talking about Scott City, went to Conway, and now we're in Hanover. Do I need to pull up stats for them, too? Because I've got Conway's record going back to 2000.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Hanover benefited more than anybody from B&B closing their doors because B&B always stood in the way of them in football, and then finally they broke free and don't have to deal with B&B anymore. And Billy B's record was impressive for quite some time as well. All right, so what are we going to hear from Coach Dusky?
Coach Dusky talking about Pike Valley and needing to shut down their run game here tonight.
They're going to have size up front, and they got some speed. They got speed in the backfield, and, you know, we struggle with that when we get in, you know, if we get our defenders out in the open field trying to tackle. We've struggled lately with breaking down and making open field tackles and things like that, so we got to contain their run game.
And Pike Valley coach?
We just talked about it, turnovers, and they need to cut down on those this week.
On the offensive ball, you know, as I said before, we've just got to execute. We've got to eliminate the turnovers, and we've got to, you know, eliminate the penalties. And, that's going to be our story.
All right, anything else to add?
No, I mean, it should be, I mean, if both teams can play to their capability, we should have a good game tonight that could go four quarters. And I'm looking forward to that. Weather might play a factor a little bit more for Lakeside because they want to throw more. So we'll see if the wet conditions are going to mess up their passing game a little bit tonight. So that'd probably be the biggest concern I have going into it here this evening.
All right, Pike Valley Lakeside tonight. Once again, the Express at 4:40. Everything moved up an hour. 5:30 pregame. Lakeside hosting Pike Valley tonight. Kickoff at 6 o'clock. Katy Country 94 and Katy Country 94. .com. We talk about Scott City's record since 2008, counting that season, 10 and a half seasons, 114-13, 90% winning percentage. What's Conway's? Did you figure that up yet?
We're getting there here.
Okay, well, then we'll go on. A former Royal, the Moose is loose in Milwaukee.
The 0-2. Swing, a line drive, base hit right field. Mike Moustakas on a two-strike pitch. Lines a single to right, and the Brewers have taken game one in the division series.
How cool is that? I mean, some guys are just clutch. I mean, Moose was terrific in the playoffs in 14 and 15. And, of course, the Royals win the World Series in 2015 over the Mets. Moustakas with a walk-off single against the shift. And the Rockies came back. They only had one hit going in the ninth inning. Then Jeremy Jeffress, former Royal, the Royals traded him in order to get Zach Greinke, if you remember. And that worked out pretty good. And the Royals got Lou Cain out of that. Now Cain's back with the Brewers. And Moose with a walk-off last night. And the Rockies had given came back. They were down 2-0 in the top of the ninth, and they tied it against Jeffress. Then Jeffress worked out of a jam, and then the 10th inning, it was Moustakas being the hero with the walk-off single. And so the Brewers lead that best of five, one game to none. The Dodgers roll yesterday 6-0 over the Braves, so they're up 1-0. If you love baseball, today is your day to play hooky and just stare at the TV for hours upon hours. It's because here's the schedule, and 1:05 this afternoon, the Indians at the Astros. That's game one. Verlander versus Kluber in that ALDS. Milwaukee and Colorado will play game two this afternoon at 3:15. That'll be on FS1. Indians Astros on TBS. Rockies trying to even that series. How about the Rockies? They played 13 innings and they played 10 yesterday. Aren't they going to eventually just fall asleep while they're playing the game?
I was like, when the Royals made it in 14, it's like, it is legal to play just a 9-inning game in the playoffs, isn't it?
Yes. Yankees and the Red Sox at 6:32, for some reason 6:32, on TBS tonight. Sale versus Happ. The Braves at the Dodgers game two. Kershaw versus Sanchez at 8:37 tonight on FS1. Tomorrow, game two of the American League Division Series. Indians at Astros tomorrow afternoon at 3:37 on TBS. Gerrit Cole against Carrasco. And the Yankees and Red Sox, David Price versus Tanaka, game two tomorrow on TBS, 7:15. So here's how you can remember this. The National League Division Series are on FS1 or on Fox. TBS has the American League Divisional Series, although there are a few games that are on MLB Network, like game three between the Brewers and Rockies coming up on Sunday. So interesting. It's always exciting. I don't have to stress out about them because the Royals aren't in these.
Yeah.
But when I see David Price pitching tomorrow, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember David Price was cruising against the Royals for the Blue Jays. And then the infamous play for the Blue Jays when the ball fell between the second baseman and the right fielder and opened up the floodgates. And I think about so many things come rushing back. You know, Moustakas doing something. I think of him, what he did for the Royals, home runs against the Angels and this and that, and the catch falling in the dugout. And then I think of Lo Kane, all his diving catches and being ALCS MVP. And you just sit here and like, oh, you immediately just flash back to what those guys did for you when they were members of the Royals, and now they're doing it in the postseason. It's pretty cool, but I told Chad, if the Royals hadn't won the World Series, this would be really tough to swallow.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Since they won the World Series, I'm happy
for
them.
That's like when Wade Davis comes into the game in the wild card and Buterra's catching, and immediately the only thing you think of is the big hug at the, you know,
right,
throwing the glove up.
Yep.
And when you see those two on the field together, that's all I think about.
Yep. When you see Gore coming, you just remember him stealing base after base. And Zobris and the things that he did. It's really cool that these guys are doing big things in the postseason. All right, you got that number on Conway Springs since 2008, counting the 08 season.
Since 08, counting the 08 season, Conway Springs is 104-17.
So that means Scott City better over that span.
A little
of time.
Bit better. They've also got two state championships during that time, too.
Yeah, well, that's just one more in Scott City.
If you go back 20 years on them, though, to 98, it's ridiculous. 189-26 and 6-7 state titles during that time, including 01 through 04.
Yeah, since what year, 98? So 26,
going back to 98.
So 26 losses in 20 years?
Sorry, 202 and 28 going back to 98.
98
so 28 losses in 20 years.
It's all right.
That's all right.
Versus
that's
202 wins.
That's not quite 90%.
It's about 87.
How many
point
times
have
they played Silver Lake and Garden Plain in that time?
They played
think
Silver
about
Lake four times in 5 years in the state championship.
Yeah, exactly. It was always those two every year. Pretty impressive. All right, let's turn to college football. Oh, my. It's going to be a rough weekend, I'm afraid. KU at West Virginia, K-State at Baylor, Nebraska is at Wisconsin. Yikes.
Loss.
Yeah, probably. Let's start with KU.
Big loss.
Okay. Well, that takes care of KU. Let's hear from David Beatty. Carter Stanley is the savior again. He's going to start this week.
All right. Well, you know, Carter went in last week for us and took the reins over and played pretty well. You know, he didn't play great. He played good. And that's the thing that leaves us encouraged is that, you know, even though he went 24-32 and he had 237 yards passing, he had three touchdowns and zero interceptions, which was a key for us, we're encouraged more by the fact that there were so many things with some critical errors that we made that we can be a lot better. And I know he sees that, and I look for him to improve this week. You know, he'll start for us again this week, and he's been a guy that, you know, our guys really are drawn to. And like I said earlier, I think I take my hat off to him for more than one reason, but the most of which was not being prepared, really ready to go at the beginning of the season, and understanding that he just had to keep working. And when his turn came, was he going to be ready? And I think he really has done a nice job of preparing. Hopefully he'll continue to do that, and he'll keep giving us production.
All right, so Carter Stanley, the quarterback this week at number 8, West Virginia. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, is with us yesterday, brought to you every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. And here's Brian's take on Stanley at quarterback.
Now, you might ask, well, how come he hasn't taken the job and run with it? In the past, you know, he's had some big moments, but then he's gotten shaken up, you know, with an injury or some other setback that, you know, has kept him from being as productive, sustained over a long time. And, you know, in this case, you know, hopefully we'll see him really take the job and make it his own over the next few weeks, going back to the place where he got his first real extended playing time 2 years ago, a second-half performance in Morgantown that set the stage for him to eventually knock off Texas. And so I think that you know, there's a lot of good going on right now in terms of the belief in that locker room around him. He's a player you and I have talked about before that has the respect of the entire locker room because of the fire with which he plays.
I don't care who's the quarterback for Kansas.
Not this weekend.
He can't play defense. KU's secondary was torched against Oklahoma State. Now they're going up against a Heisman Trophy candidate and Will Grier and more speed on the outside. This is going to be a long day, I'm afraid. This is going to remind you of the Turner Gill years, Charlie Weiss. It's good. I just think this
David
could
Beatty.
David. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy, too. It just hasn't happened this year. I was trying to cut the guy a break, you jerk. My
That's
Lord.
Right there.
I was
I don't
like,
care who
I was
you
like,
are.
You know, this
funny.
Year he hasn't had one of those games. I'm trying to cut the guy a break. Man, there's the purple colors coming out. Rough. So, yeah, it's going to be like that. You are correct. I can't deny what you said. Not at all. I think it's going to be really ugly. I think West Virginia is going to pile it on Kansas. And when Dana Holgorsen was asked about KU's interceptions on defense, he said, how many were those against Rutgers?
That's the Rutgers factor.
That's the Rutgers factor.
Oh, that's savage, man. That's not even
He's
nice.
Right, though.
He's right.
He's right. KU at West Virginia, the spread, I don't even know, but it's not high enough. West Virginia is going to roll in this one. 11 a.m., pregame at 10:30 tomorrow on Z96.3, the leg. K-State's got a better chance of winning. They're 2-3 at Baylor, 3-2. I have no idea what they're going to do. Are they going to go with Skylar Thompson? Have they announced anything? Of course not. So
he's definitely not talking about it anymore.
No. So, anywho, K-State at Baylor. Baylor is a good offensive team. They're not great defensively, but K-State's not good offensively. If K-State doesn't win this game in Waco, there is no bowl game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Even if they win, I don't know if there's a bowl game, but if they lose this game, I don't see how they're going to win a bowl game looking at the rest of their schedule. And things just seem to be going downhill for K-State. And in case you missed it, Bill Snyder earlier this week, not in a good mood when asked about his quarterback situation.
Coach, your offense this year has scored significantly more points with Skyler in the game. He has better passing numbers, averaging more yards per carry than Alex Delton as well. What are we missing that has you so insistent on playing both quarterbacks right now?
What are you missing? Well, probably just that you're not on the field coaching. That's probably the only thing.
What would it take for Skyler to win the job outright?
Continue to play well and improve his play.
Coach, after watching the film, how much of a spark did you feel like Skyler gave you guys in the second half?
The thing in the second half that and Skyler was a part of it, but you know, the thing that happened in the second half, I saw, you know, coming out of the locker room, and I think I mentioned this after the ball game, I thought there was an immense determination, you know, from the players in the program. I thought there was an anger just at their own performance and the lack of success that they were having that I thought carried over into the second half of the ball game. I thought was very instrumental in their approach and how they played in the second half.
Coaches, back to the question I asked a second ago, when talking about sparking the offense, were there similarities between what Skyler did?
You write what the hell you want to write.
Whee! It's a family program. Well, John Kurtz
what
doesn't
should I talk
John,
about.
John
though?
Kurtz doesn't write about it. He's not a newspaper guy. So anyway, so Coach Snyder, then he had his teleconference this week. So Coach, who's it going to be against Baylor?
each week the anticipation is that both of them will play. I think both of them, you know, are very similar. A lot of people say one can throw and one can run, and each one can't do the other, but that's not an accurate assessment. Both of them have the ability to do both. You know, there might be a little difference between the two in those areas, but, and it's more than that. It's being able to manage the ball game, get ourselves out of the wrong things and into the right things. And they've both done a nice job of that for the most part. They're, you know, both are, you know, still growing. You know, they're still young and still growing, still improvement, making improvements, and still improvements to be made. No one has dramatically separated themselves, you know, from each other. Obviously, Skyler came in and had a pretty decent second half, and consequently, you know, put him, you know, a step up, you know, for the coming ball game. But, you know, if healthy, they'll still both play.
K-State at Baylor. Baylor's a 4-point favorite in this one in Waco, 2:30 tomorrow. Riley Gates at GoPowerGuy.com. We have him on every Tuesday. Brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Heineken Electric, and he talks about the QB situation.
Alex is one-dimensional. He's a one-trick pony. I mean, you know, they tried to tell us all offseason, you know, that they can both do, you know, they can both throw the ball, they can both run the ball, and we believed it for a little bit. But honestly, did anybody truly believe that Alex Delton was going to be anywhere near the type of throwing quarterback, the type of throwing threat that Skylar Thompson is? No, there was no way. And so, you know, I think that by putting him out against Texas, one of the country's best run defenses, you were putting yourself behind the eight ball to start. And then, you know, they come out, like you said, in the second half, they have a lot better half with Skylar Thompson. And I think it just flows better. I think he adds more dimensions to this offense and makes it more things to defend for defenses. You know, at this point, you really got to wonder, you know, what's it going to take to, A, get Skylar Thompson in the game from the start and keep him in there the whole time, and, B, you got to wonder, what's it going to take to make Skylar Thompson stay past this year? Because right now, I think there's probably a better chance that he leaves than he stays.
I would agree with that. I think there's going to be a long conversation, or maybe it'll be short, between Skylar and his whole family and friends when the season's over, unless he's given the keys to the car and he's able to be the quarterback pretty much the rest of the way, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not gonna go out on the limb and say he's gonna leave, but there will be that conversation. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, think they've already had.
Yeah,
having it.
I'm sure they have. And like I said though last week, I mean, had he not already redshirted, he might be gone already. I agree. He might be headed to Missouri right now.
Yep.
The one thing Riley said in that thing is the thing that I just can't ever get past right now. Texas has one of the best run defenses in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go out with a game plan just to show them that you're going to run.
With your quarterback.
And we're going to have our running quarterback in the game, and we're going to run. We're going to run right at you. One of the best run defenses in the country. We're going to run. And we're not going to open anything up with the pass. We're just going to run.
And nothing works in the first quarter, but you go ahead and wait till halftime to make a change.
Keep going.
You jerk Skylar out and put Alex in.
Yeah. That's what stands out to me is, like, how do you go into a game like that with that kind of game plan? Baylor's going to be a different defense this week. So they'll probably – Baylor's a good pass defense, so they'll probably just, you know.
They'll probably start Skyler?
Yeah.
Okay. Nick Leckie.
Skyler needs to start no matter what.
I agree with you. Nick Leckie, former K-Stater, All-American, offensive lineman. He was with us on Wednesday, and I asked him, is the offensive line, how does it affect the offensive line when you have to keep dealing with different quarterbacks shuttling in and out of the game?
It's more different if you're a receiver because you look at the timing aspect of everything, and every quarterback has their nuances that as a receiver you got to get used to. So it's a little bit more difficult for a wide receiver. The one thing that I've noticed that with Delton is that his pocket presence, he's such an athletic guy, and he's such a good runner that his first instinct with any sort of pressure is to tuck the ball and run. I mean, you know, that's what he did at Hayes, and, you know, that's what he's done in the past.
Uh-huh.
So he's not likely to sit in the pocket for an extended period of time. And then with Skyler, it's like he can run the ball, as we showed with that touchdown that he scored, which is awesome. Skyler's more willing to sit in the pocket and you know, make that pass and look at that second, that third read. So as an offensive lineman, you just got to get a block a little bit longer for one over the other, but it really doesn't change too much.
K-State at Baylor, Baylor a 4-point favorite. K-State going to win this one or not, Dusty?
You know, if their secondary was healthy, I'd say they would. Mm-hmm. But Baylor's going to throw the ball, and K-State has not been good against the pass this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick Baylor to win by a touchdown.
All right. That's 2:30 tomorrow, and you can watch that on FS1. Also tomorrow, the Red River Shootout, 11 a.m. Should be an interesting game. If Texas is really back, they win this game, right?
Yeah.
Texas against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's going to win, but it's usually a pretty decent game. There's Charlie Strong beat Oklahoma, so why can't Tom Herman? Texas against Oklahoma tomorrow, 11 a.m. on Fox, KU at West Virginia, ESPN2, but also on Z96.3 Lake, pregame at 10:30, kickoff 11 tomorrow. Iowa State at Oklahoma State at 2:30 on ESPN2. Texas Tech and TCU, they won't play until coming up next Thursday. So that's the Big 12 schedule. MIAA schedule, Pittsburgh State taking on Northwest Missouri State. That's a big game in MIAA. It's a 2 o'clock kick from the Pit in Pittsburgh. Pitt State, the Gorillas, they are the only undefeated team left in MIAA. Also, it'll be Fort Hays State at Emporia State at 2 o'clock. In the MIAA. Nebraska is in action. They are 0-4 at Wisconsin, who is 3-1. Wisconsin's one loss at home to BYU earlier this year. And earlier this week, Scott Frost talked about the lack of discipline. It is embarrassing, some of the dumb penalties and the mistakes that they made against Purdue, despite putting almost 600 yards of offense on the board and losing by 14 at home in front of the Big Red Nation. And here's Scott Frost talking about the issues his team is dealing with.
Yeah, in three of our games, we played well enough to win the game. We honestly look, in my opinion, we look like one of the most undisciplined teams in the country, and it kills me because it isn't like we're not giving them the messages. It isn't like we're not trying to hold them accountable. That being said, we got a bunch of guys. I told them after the game, we got a bunch of guys that are warriors and a bunch of guys that didn't stop fighting. When I see guys like Ben Stilley turning and getting out of pass rush and running down one of the receivers 30 yards downfield, I'll go to battle with guys like that anytime. It's up to us as coaches, but it's also up to that team to stop allowing the other stuff to happen. We can't get holding calls on interceptions, talk trash to their sideline, and start dancing on the field. I didn't know what was going on when we're down 13 points and we got backups and reserves dancing on our sideline before kickoffs. They look like they love losing, and they look undisciplined. We got another penalty on special teams that instead of starting at the 30 or something, we start at our own 8. We get penalties on 3rd and 20. We get penalties when our drives are going and we kill them. I'm tired of looking at it. There's really no difference from a coach's perspective between I can't do it and I won't do it. The people that won't make good decisions, the people that are hitting people 3 yards out of bounds, if that keeps up, I'm just going to ride with the guys that do it the right way. Because we got a lot of warriors on this team that battled today and a lot of ways played well enough to win. But I'm tired of coaching an undisciplined team. I don't want to be the only one that won't put up with it. The team has to not put up with it. You know, we'll see where we are from an injury standpoint. We don't have a lot of depth at certain positions. And we need young guys to step up and some guys to come along. In a lot of cases, if there was someone else to play, we'd already had them on the field in some kind of role. I'm not putting up. You talk to them after week one, week two, week three, the mistakes we're making. We played well enough to win game one, game two, and game four. But not when you make those mistakes. You're not going to win. Yeah, I got a sense of why, but I don't really want to say why. Because this is my team. This isn't somebody else's team. But in order to have a disciplined team, you got to have guys that really care. And you got to have guys that are accountable. And you have to have a environment where they're held accountable to all the little things they do on and off the field. We're doing that. I don't know if it's taken root with everybody. I don't know how many habits people have. We're trying to break a lot of habits. We're trying to teach them how we want things done. Because I know when things are done that way, you win games and you win championships. As hard as this team has played, a lot of guys on this team have played and played well enough to win. We're not going to win as long as those things are happening.
And since you said that, Nebraska has made some changes on the depth chart. There's a younger receiver that's decided he's going to transfer. I don't know if that's direct correlation with what he was saying, but they have made some changes on the depth chart, and the Huskers will try to move forward, but odds are they're not going to win at Wisconsin.
No. It's not looking good.
No, not at all.
No.
The understatement of the year from Dusty. It's not
looking
good for the Huskers.
Until Bethune-Cookman?
Probably. They've lost 8 in a row, Nebraska has, dating back to last year. Do they get the number one draft pick? Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
That's not how that works.
Darn it.
Wouldn't that be something if you could just be like, you're the worst team, you get the number one recruit in America.
Yeah. But who determines one recruit in America? Yeah. You got to draft and pick your own guy.
Alabama.
Yeah. They get all of them. Picking for the 8th straight pick to start the first round, Alabama, you're on the clock. Okay. Top 25. Speaking of Alabama, top 25. Alabama's at Arkansas. We mentioned Texas against Oklahoma, Red River Shootout. Michigan hosting Maryland, they're 15th. Michigan State hosting Northwestern. Michigan State ranked 20th. Clemson, number 4. Their quarterback will be back. Lawrence kid looks like he's going to be cleared to play at Wake Forest. LSU, number 5 at number 22, Florida. Florida State at number 17, Miami. Well, that used to be a great game. And Indiana at number 3, Ohio State. Arizona State at number 21, Colorado. Colorado's 4-0. No offense, Mr. Bowden. Colorado's 4-0. They haven't played anybody.
No, they haven't. Should have lost to Nebraska, honestly.
Yes, and how bad is Nebraska? We know that. Arizona State is probably the best team Colorado's played so far. SMU is at number 12, Central Florida. Number 13, Kentucky at Texas A&M. I'm calling the shot right here. Kentucky loses that one. Vanderbilt at number 2, Georgia. Number 8, Auburn at Mississippi State, who's now out of the rankings. Number 10, Washington at UCLA. Nebraska at number 16, Wisconsin. Number 6, Notre Dame. At number 20, Virginia Tech, ranked 24th. Ryan Willis, former KU quarterback, can't cut it at KU, is Virginia Tech's quarterback, it looks like, for this game because of an injury to the starter. All Willis did last week was throw for 332 yards and 3 touchdowns and beat a top 25 team. But he's not good enough at Kansas. Coaches aren't good enough to coach him up.
That's what it is.
Okay. And Utah at number 14, Stanford. All right, the Chiefs. Well, before we get to that, Thursday night football last night, the Patriots, they went over the Colts. And 38-24, Tom Brady with his 500th career touchdown pass. And if you watched the game last night, for all of you that are, well, the Patriots aren't going to win the Super Bowl. The Patriots are finally, they're old. The Patriots aren't the team to beat in the AFC. Oh, my Lord, do you ever learn from the past?
No.
Oh, God. Tom Brady last night had weapons. Julian Edelman back from a suspension, who missed all of last year with an ACL. That changes New England's offense tremendously. Opens up coverages for Rob Gronkowski. And now they've got a guy that can stretch the field in Josh Gordon, who happened to catch Brady's 500th career touchdown pass last night. The Patriots are a little bit different offensively with Gordon and Edelman. Mm-hmm. Added to Gronkowski. And then the Michelle, is it Michael?
Sonny Michelle.
Michelle. Yeah. It looks like Michael. Michelle, who played at Georgia, he's back healthy. He missed some time. All of a sudden, the Patriots got the big game against the Chiefs next Sunday. And you know they're looking for payback after the Chiefs spanked them last year. That'll be in Foxborough. So the Chiefs got the tough game against Jacksonville at home. Then they got to go to Foxborough. And if the Patriots beat the Chiefs next weekend in Foxborough, which they should because they'll be at home, the Patriots right immediately, all these people that have been starting to jump off the wagon. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Chiefs are the same old Chiefs. And the Patriots are the same old Patriots. The Patriots are going to win the AFC. Quit falling for this, people, in regards to the Patriots are getting old. They're not getting old. Tom Brady's getting older, and he seems to be getting better. They're not an old football team. If you really look at their roster and their team, they're not super old. The Raiders are old, and they're not very good. The Patriots mix in youth with veterans. They don't sign guys to long-term deals. They have flexibility. They're not afraid to cut a guy that doesn't fit in. And now they're not afraid to bring in a guy that's had problems like Josh Gordon. Remember Randy Moss they brought in? That worked out pretty well, I would say. And if Gordon can keep out of trouble off the field and pass drug tests, which I know is a big if, he brings a whole new dimension to this offense. And that was the first game they played together last night, and they put up 38. Wait till they really get on the same page, and now they're going to have 10 days before they play the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Don't write off the Patriots. They are still the team to beat in AFC, without question.
And Brady already, with no more time than Gordon and him have had together, didn't have any second thoughts about throwing a ball up into the end zone
and
double
get it.
Coverage and let him go get it, which he did.
Who used to do that?
Randy Moss.
Yeah.
I've never been so mad at football, except maybe when Charlie Weiss got hired by KU, than when the Raiders traded Randy Moss to the Patriots for a fifth-round draft pick. I'm like, what are you doing? You just doomed all the rest of us.
Well, nobody else was willing to give him anything better than that. Yeah. It was the best offer.
The thing with Brady is, like, what you're talking about, what people think say the Patriots are old. You're labeled as old as your, if your superstars are old. How many times did I try to tell everybody in 2013 and 14 that the Spurs were not old?
Yes.
They weren't. They were younger than the Heat.
Yep.
And nobody knew that. Because they caught up on Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, who have been there for forever. Right. They're old. They're old.
Right.
Well, they're not old with Kawhi. They're not old with Patty Mills. They're not old with these guys.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the Patriots. They're old. Well, because their quarterback and their superstar is old. The rest of their team's not old.
That's just people.
And Gronk's been there for so long, so he's old.
That's people that aren't watching the Patriots play football. And secondly, they don't even look at their roster and know any of the other players. It's just they know the few superstars, and that's it. Well, Gronkowski gets hurt, and Brady's old, so the Patriots aren't very good. Well, they're going to get a lot better. And how many times have we seen the Patriots start out a little bit slow? Remember Monday Night Football against the Chiefs? Brady might want to be benched. Do you remember that whole press conference? Yeah. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Did you think about...
They know what the end game is. They know it's a marathon, not a sprint. Come on, man. They're still the team to beat. Anybody want to disagree with that?
Not until I see it done.
I'm hearing you. All right, the Chiefs got a big game against the Jaguars. Tyreek Hill shooting his mouth off a little bit towards Jalen Ramsey, saying, I hope he presses me, this and that. And he said Ramsey's a good corner. Not a great corner. Ramsey's an all-pro. He thinks highly of himself. Ramsey shot back, and it was kind of funny yesterday. I have to admit, Ramsey goes, Tyreek Hill, he's an all-pro return specialist. He goes, Tyreek's been to the Pro Bowl twice as a return specialist. He goes, I've been to the Pro Bowl, and I'm an all-pro at my position, cornerback. I'm a cornerback. I mean, it was funny how he went through
First off, this isn't corner against wide receiver. Let's just start there.
Well, that's what he's saying. Yeah. That's exactly what he's saying. Tyreek Hill is a wide receiver. He is a wide receiver. But he's made the Pro Bowl as a return specialist. He's not made the Pro Bowl as a receiver. So Ramsey's basically saying, you're not even a Pro Bowl receiver, and you're talking smack on me. That's his point.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What happens on Sunday?
I don't have a problem with either one of them, they're saying. Tyreek can – he can burn Ramsey. I'm confident of that.
Right.
You get him in a bad position with any corner in the league, you're done against Tyreek Hill. Now the question is, does Mahomes get him the ball in the right time? And normally he will. But at the same time, Ramsey's not wrong either. The guy's not a prototypical wide receiver. They line him up in the backfield sometimes. They do everything with him. Ramsey's not just a wide receiver.
Ramsey used to defending tall receivers and really big tight ends like Gronkowski. Yeah. He's really good against the bigger guys. This will be a different challenge for Ramsey. At the same time, you look at Hill against physical defenses in his career, and the one that pops up to me is Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh tends to slow him down.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacksonville's more physical. They remind me of the Steeler defenses that were really good. But the thing is, you take away Hill, you still got Kelsey. And Watkins may not play this week. We don't know. We'll get the injury report in a little bit. And you got Hunt. And, of course, you got Mahomes keeping plays alive. It's a different animal than it used to be when you had Hill against Pittsburgh without Patrick Mahomes. But Hill was held in check against Pittsburgh earlier this year. This is the number one defense in the league. Jacksonville's really good, man, defensively. Their offense is getting better. And the Chiefs have the number one offense in all of football. So more than likely, it's going to come down to probably the Chiefs' defense. Because there's going to be one of these games they're going to lose. It's going to be a shootout. And let's hear from Andy Reid about the Jaguars. A very good team that's 3-1. They're only lost to Tennessee.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. I mean, that's what makes they're good players. And you can start right up front and go all the way to the back end and everything in between. So they're a good football team. That's why you love the challenge and playing against a team like this. And then they're good offensively too, and good on special teams. So you know it's a well-rounded football team, and that's why we're in this.
Yeah.
So the Jaguars 3-1, the Chiefs 4-0. Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. So basically, it's a push. They're getting 3 points because they're at home. I saw what Malik Jackson said for the Broncos with Jacksonville, and I agree with him. He made a good point. He said, really, the key is to keep Mahomes in the pocket, make him throw the football downfield in the pocket. I would agree with him. That offensive line of Chiefs better be ready to go. They're going to see some exotic blitzes, and this can be a really big challenge. If the Chiefs win this game, which hopefully they do since they're at home, then they go to New England. Even if they lose in New England, I don't think that's a big deal. Although, for home field advantage, it could be at the end of the year. So it could be a huge deal. But before the year, we looked at their schedule, the first six games. We said, if they go 3-3, the Chiefs will be doing great. If they beat Jacksonville, they're going to be assured to be 5-1 in the six-game stretch.
Yeah. I mean, they're already impressive. Better than 3-3 no matter what right now. So it's like, you know, you're 4-2 at worst, and I don't think anybody would have complained about that.
No.
At all.
But you will if they lose to Jacksonville and the New England. It'll feel weird.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs, a big test this weekend. Pre-game 11, kickoff at noon on Z96.3 at Lake. Other NFL games this Sunday, Tennessee at Buffalo. Tennessee, a bit of a surprise at 3-1. The way they're winning is a surprise. The Giants at the Carolina Panthers, Miami Dolphins at the Bengals, both teams 3-1. Baltimore at Cleveland. Green Bay is at Detroit. Denver is at the Jets. Atlanta is at Pittsburgh. Well, you talk about a game of two teams that really need a win. Atlanta's 1-3. Pittsburgh's 1-2-1. Le'Veon Bell reportedly will come back week 7. Oakland at the Chargers. Minnesota 1-2-1 against the Eagles, 2-2. Arizona at San Francisco. The Rams at Seattle. The Rams, the only other undefeated team in the NFL, along with the Chiefs. Dallas at Houston, the Battle of Texas, Sunday Night Football. And Monday Night Football, Alex Smith will be on Monday Night Football. The Redskins at the Saints, who lost week 1 to Tampa Bay. Bad loss. They've recovered to win 3 in a row. Whew. I had the Saints in the Super Bowl. I feel a little bit better about that pick, but I did not feel good about it after week 1.
My dark horse Tennessee Titans winning the South is looking
okay. Pretty good.
If they can keep going, looking pretty good.
Yeah, we shall see. All right, got another game change.
Yes, Osborne was the last one that we hadn't had a change on yet, but they are now moving that one up to 5:30. So Osborne at Wilson tonight at 5:30 here in the area. So lots of different changes. Again, they'll all be at ncksports.com on the schedules for those teams.
There you have it. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll recap it all on Monday on the Sports Ticket.